It was a breathtaking sight as thousands of moon pigs descended onto doorsteps. A symphony of joyful dads filled the air. This little moon pig was completely unique, made in minutes.
Wow.
This little moon pig wanted to say thanks for everything.
Oh.
And this witty little moon pig made Tony go ha 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 all day long. For when it comes to Father's Day, it must be a
moonpig.com.
Download the app now.
Hey folks, have you been on the hunt for a new wig or a new look for the summer? Well, listen up, because I've got something just for you. Love Me Hair. Picture this. High quality, natural, glueless wigs that are an absolute game changer for when you want to easily switch up your looks. Introducing Love Me, your go-to destination for premium hair solutions. And let me tell you, they've got options. Whether you want a short fringe bob like me or a wig with 4C edges like Shan, Love Me has something that will make you feel good and look good. And get this, sis. It's a woman-owned business with nearly a decade of expertise in 100% human hair wigs. But wait, it gets even better. Use our code DBW27 at the checkout for an exclusive 27% off each order. Yep, you heard me right. Just head over to lovemehair.com. That's LUVMEHair.com and let the magic begin. Oh, and before I forget, there is free shipping on all wigs and a 30-day free returns policy. Oh, and don't forget to send us your pics.
This is the Unapologetically Black Podcast.
Understanding that your blackness is part of your greatness.
Blackness just comes from being me, and that's it.
Men are allowed to do whatever the fuck they want to do. They can be cheaters, they can be liars, but women are expected to be righteous.
So if you're someone who in a concert you're going to say the N-word, in my opinion, at home you're going to say it as well. In friendship, there's someone who deposits and there's someone who withdraws. You don't want to be the friend that's keep depositing and the person that keeps withdrawing.
Poor people don't have time for depression.
I'm so tired.
Abortions doesn't actually reduce abortion.
But actually, if my mental health is not okay, I can't help you in any capacity.
I mean, my entire life I've lived under the gaze of my parents. Fuck that shit.
Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Dig Deep podcast. This is the episode where myself and Leanne ask each other a series of questions to quite literally dig deep into our sisterhood and take you guys on the journey with us. And I like to start by asking Leanne a normal question, which is, how are you?
I'm looking forward to the weekend, although I don't have anything planned. I'm just looking forward to taking a step back and doing some reading. Barry and I have a reading date tonight, Friday night, excited with the oldie but goodies.
Mm-hmm.
So
what does that look like? Are you going to read to him? Do you read one book? How does that work?
No, it is time where we don't use our devices, we don't watch TV, and we just spend a couple of hours reading together. So we won't read the same book. But occasionally I might be reading something and I'll say to him, oh, this is interesting. And like, we'll.
Oh, like we're reading it in the same
yes,
space.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, it's something. Not for me because I don't really read.
It's something I used to do when I was a kid. Like my brother and sister and I, we would literally spend time reading in the same space, like at the dining table or mm-hmm. in the living room. And so it's something I've adopted and Barry and I are trying to make it a regular thing.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I was thinking about the other day is the idea about men and the fact that, you know, some men, not all, some men are poorly behaved, yeah? And for the men that yes. are poorly behaved, I've realised the reason why they can be is because it's not a disservice to men to be poorly behaved in the same way that it might be to women because of patriarchy. Mm-hmm. And it made me think, like, if you were a man, do you think you'd be a shit man? Like, do you think you'd be one of the shitty guys? Because when I was thinking about it properly, I was like, the power dynamic at play being a man, it's quite easy to then fall into the shitty guy.
It is. I have to say that if I was a man, I probably would be an asshole. And not an asshole in the same context as like being rude to people or, you know, looking down on people or condescending or anything. But I would definitely demand more in my professional career for sure. And I would definitely be a serial cheater. Like I would probably be, I'd probably be that 50-year-old man that's still in the club trying to chat up girls.
Because I was thinking about it and I was like, Shan, be honest with yourself. What type of man would you be? Yeah. And I feel like I would be that guy. Because you know, I'm a romantic. I love love. So I would be that guy that takes out different girls. And I'm really honest with all of them about what's going on. So I'm not quite the cheater. I'm more just the gallus, all right? I take out different girls, wine and dine them. We have a good time. And I tell them from the jump, I don't want a relationship. But we act like we're in a relationship. And then 6 months in, they're like, so are we together? And I'm like, no, baby.
I told you.
We're not. I don't want a relationship. Mm-hmm. And then I'll hit like 30. And then I'll be like, maybe not 30, even 40, 35. And then I'll be like, let me get myself a little young thing and settle down and get married.
Okay, yeah.
That's tough of guy, I feel like.
I feel like that's every Caribbean man or most Caribbean men that I know. So at least we're culturally still the same.
Yes, we love this for us.
On that note, I feel like that's a really good dig deep question anyway. But shall we get started?
Let's dig. Do you ever used to do that?
No.
On the early episode, I'll be like, let's dig deep.
No, I definitely don't remember that.
Don't I? Or maybe I'll just do that in my head. Never mind, never mind.
Possibly. Have to go back okay. And listen to the old ones.
No, because now I just feel awkward and cringe.
What is the most romantic thing that someone has ever done for you? Man, woman, doesn't matter.
Romantic thing. Okay, so I feel like my love language is acts of service, and so I feel like whenever someone performs acts of service, I always take it as an act of it being romantic for me. And so I feel like I probably observe romance in like quite commonly, and so I can't really think of like a standout thing. I don't think I've ever had anything that's like outlandish. If someone's listening and they're dating me or they want to date me, I would love a surprise holiday, business class, you know, beach view villa. But I think when I think of something that someone's done, it would be like maybe I've said I'm really tired and then they've brought me food or they've sent me food. And actually, as I'm saying that out loud, I'm like, my level of romance in my life is quite low.
I've had some very romantic moments in my life. And actually, it's very similar to you, except at scale. So it's one of those things that people take the burden off of your plate. So normally, for instance, when I plan a holiday, it's me planning it. But I had an ex-boyfriend who was very romantic, who I treated very poorly. So if he's listening, I apologize. And he planned all of our holidays. So we went to New York. He took me on a helicopter ride over the city. He took me to Greece, planned all of the excursions, planned, you know, booked the hotel, paid for everything. I think I was really broke at the time. So I literally did not pay for anything.
Not you being a passport, bro.
I was like, if somebody asked me if I had my get vex money, I did not have my get vex money on those trips. And I was just trusting in him. So yeah, like those kind of like big gestures. And I think sometimes we try to downplay what we want in life because we don't want to be seen as like high maintenance or over the top or pushy or gold digger or whatever. But those kind of gestures make a difference. Like this person flew to London, then flew me to Greece. I don't even know how much money they paid on a Jamaican salary. So it's not like they were making bank either, but they saved and took me on a dream holiday to Santorini, which was really lovely. Still one of the best holidays I've ever had. It's such a beautiful place. I highly recommend. It's very expensive, so I'm glad that I didn't pay for it myself, but well worth the trip.
You know, for a lot of men, and this goes back to what we started with shitty men, yeah? When they show romance, it's after they've cheated or after they've done something wrong. And I think, not to put fear into people that are listening, but there's a pattern of behaviour you can sometimes clock in poorly raised men, which is when they're doing something they're not supposed to, randomly you've got flowers, randomly you've got a bottle of champagne, randomly you've got... And this is something that I've noticed after the fact. And when I spoke to certain friends, they verified that was their experience as well. So I think because of that, when you asked me the question, I blocked out a lot of romance I experienced, let's say with my ex, because I'm like, that was probably because you was overcompensating for something you was getting up to. But I think what was really nice is that one of my birthdays, I was like, oh, I don't want to do anything for my birthday. Like, I just want to be with you. Don't want to see anyone, blah, 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 blah. And it wasn't that I didn't want to see anyone. It was more just that, like, I didn't want to have to go through the process of planning it and, like, trying to sort everything out. And it was, like, COVID as well and all those restrictions. And I remember he was like, okay, don't worry. It's just going to be me and you. And he planned this surprise, yeah, where we had, like, a meal. And it was, like, a whole weekend that, like, we went to this really, really nice hotel. And then he wasn't really, like, a cards person, but he got me, like, a really, like, you know, you can get a Moonpig card, then you can get the extra large one that's, like, fuck off size, yeah? He got me, like, a Moonpig card and put, like, this really, really, like, nice words in it. But obviously he was cheating. Yeah, anyway. And then... And then we went to this restaurant, and then it was like a big surprise. And then after that surprise meal of like a lot of my closest people there, even my mum was there, like it was just really like thought out. Then we went to another, so we stayed over, and then the next day we went to another hotel that was really lovely. And then after that, the next day I had like a surprise, not surprise, but like a barbecue shindig thing at my house. And it was like, again, with like more friends and more like family. And it was just such a great birthday. I didn't have to do anything. And I feel like my birthdays, I always find quite stressful. Like, you know, people talk a lot about like birthday anxiety and like that sort of stuff. And I think I always like to acknowledge things on my birthday, because I think the beauty about birthday is that, similar to Christmas, you have your favorite people around you. But I just also think like sometimes it's long because I've got to be thinking about like so many different personalities and so many different things. Like, I really want to go and do karaoke, but one of my friends have made it very clear, like, why do you do karaoke? So now I'm like, well, I don't want to go and have your bad vibes there in the background, or thinking it in your head you don't want to be there.
But why are you dictating what my friend is doing on her birthday? Like, fuck off. If you don't like karaoke, come and celebrate me anyway.
No, I know she would definitely still come, but it was just that I made a comment of saying like, oh, I want to do karaoke. And she was like, oh, why did you think? And then I think for her, it was probably just a throwaway comment. But for me, I really internalized it. But yeah, this is trauma, friends. No, I'm joking. Okay. So my first question for you is, when was the first moment you fell in love with yourself?
Ooh, good question. When was the first moment I fell in love with myself? You know what? It was probably really, really late in life. Like, definitely growing up, I did not love myself at all. I loved myself, the love that I felt for myself was very conditional on how other people felt about me. I think the first time I really fell in love with myself was when I moved to England. And even, I would say, a couple of years going in, being in England, like that, I would say 2012. Mm-hmm. So I was in my late 20s at this point in time, going on 30. And I just, this was pre-therapy, and it wasn't consistent, but it was definitely the first time where I felt like, wow, I'm grown. I'm enjoying the way I look. I'm enjoying the way I feel. My 30s really brought out a kind of self-love that I didn't necessarily feel before. And I can't even pinpoint what the reason or what the circumstance or the event that really spurred that on, but just feeling more like an adult, feeling more like settled in life. I had the friends that I had. I was really in love with my friends, really in love with my life. Someone came and fucked that up. But I would say in my early 30s. But I can't even actually pinpoint what it was that really made me fall in love with myself. Except to say that I knew that I was in love with myself because I fell out of love with myself in my like mid-30s. Do you feel like you've reached that like level of self-love that you aspire to?
Yeah, I think I felt like I had it ages ago. And then on reflection, I think when you think about what self-love really is, like to love yourself unconditionally, that was probably in the last year or the last 2 years. And I say that because I think when I put on like lots of weight, I said a lot of things to myself that were quite harmful or that like wasn't in a way that is reflective of what it means to love yourself. Mm. And then I remember I told myself like I need to intentionally not lose weight so I can be happy of who I am at this size. Yeah. Or at that size, because I'm losing weight now. And in doing that, I think it made me really see like the amazing qualities I have outside of looks or outside of, you know, like male validation and certain things like that. And like along the way, it was quite hard. Like, do you remember I told you the story, like I'm not going into it all now, about like the guy who made the comment about like being on the pill and I wasn't on the pill because I'd put on so much weight. And there were so many comments from like family members, you know, in Caribbean, like, oh, I put on weight, all of these sort of things. So it was a really long, like long journey. But in my head, I was like, I need to get to the point of where I feel confident in myself like this, and I feel deserving of getting things even though I look this way and show up this way. So I feel like for me that redefined what self-love meant, because that's like loving yourself despite flaws or despite things that you still feel like you've got to work towards or work on. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think before I was so subscribed to this idea of perfectionism that I didn't love myself whenever I messed up or whenever I didn't feel like I was hitting that exactly. level. And perfectionism is so unrealistic. Well, I'm so happy I've got rid of the shackles of perfectionism, because honestly, I was tied to that for time, like for ages. And I still have like traits of it now. I'm still like, I still try to be the best that I can be. But now it's more of being the best I can be rather than being perfect. And I think there's a thin line between the two. And before I was really on that line.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. And I guess it's a never-ending struggle, right? Like, it's never something that you completely get over, but it's important to keep reminding yourself as you go along. Okay, good question. What do you think or feel is your proudest accomplishment thus far?
I don't know how to answer that question. I don't think I can think of something, because I don't want to tie it to things like academics or, like, material things. I don't really think that's genuine to like where I place value in things. I would say my accomplishment would be my ability to demonstrate and express self-awareness. And the reason why I think it's my proudest accomplishment is because when I was younger, I was quite much the opposite of that. Mm. So my response would be, if he was to tell me like, oh, I think you said that in quite a rude way, my response would to be in defensive mode or like to just completely ignore what you're saying. Whereas, like, I'm on the complete opposite end of the spectrum. Whereas if you told me that, even if I didn't agree, I would genuinely sit down and, like, reflect on it. I might sound bored of somebody else. Or I might just use it as a pinpoint and be like, okay, I've been told this 3 times. Maybe this is something that is a pattern of behaviour that I'm not aware of. But I actually need to, like, checkpoint or, like, do something on. So I think I would say it's my journey of self-awareness.
Okay. That's a very interesting question. Very retrospective or reflective.
All of them things there.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know how to word this question, but I just knew what I meant when I wrote it down. Okay.
Okay.
So the question is, if you think about traits that people have as human beings, yeah, and then you think of negative traits, out of all the negative traits you can have, this question's come like a paragraph. What is like your worst negative trait to find in a man?
Or to find in a man.
So not your worst. So okay, so many. I guess the question is, what is the worst negative trait that you see in men? Or like to see in a man?
That's hard. Because there are so many.
if you just do a top two?
I can do a top two. Okay.
Okay.
Top two is how they treat other people. So someone can be really nice to me and an asshole to everybody else. And it's funny because I'm married to an asshole now, but I see moments of kindness in him with other people still. So let me not say that he's a complete asshole. But yeah, it matters to me how you treat my friends, how you treat strangers, how you treat wait staff. All of that stuff is really important to me because I feel like it's indicative of your character.
Mm-hmm.
And then two is lying. Like, I hate it when people lie to me. And I know that I probably have said on this podcast that I've lied before.
But we all so lie, though. Come on. We've all lied before.
Yeah, yeah. But I, you know what it is? Oftentimes, I find when I talk to my male friends that they lie to their romantic partners because they're afraid to get in trouble. And I'm like, nah, bro, just tell the truth and it will relieve you of the wrath that you will feel after mm-hmm. we've found out that you lied. Like,
because I was literally just talking to one of my friends, yeah, and I was talking about the idea of going on a date with a guy that hasn't got any money, yeah? And oh, yeah. She was like, why can't men just be honest? Like, why can't they just say, oh, like, do you know, just come around mine for this week because I haven't really got much money. And I was like, yeah, my response would be, yeah, cool, shall I bring the snacks? And I was like, the thing is that men don't do that. They'll just say, come around to mine. And then instead of you understanding it's because of low funds, you actually just feel like, are you like, is this what you look at me as?
See, this is dependent like on the early stages.
No, I don't mean like later on. I mean like, I like being at home and in a tracksuit. I mean like in the early stages, because we were referring to a specific example. So okay. If it being like date two, at date two, I don't know why the motive should be at your house.
Yeah, no, definitely
number
not.
Number two, it needs to be because of low funds.
No, but you can take me out on a date that doesn't require a lot of money. How about a picnic in the park?
But how about we go for a walk?
Or how about we go for a walk? Or I don't know, the two for one cinema. Like, there are so many things that you can do that are super cheap or completely free. So I find that a poor excuse. Don't just invite me around to your house because that's lazy.
It's also insulting, but that's another thing for another day. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. If you were to die tomorrow, how would you want to
guys,
be remembered?
Please don't ask your friends these questions, okay? We're trying to have a good, positive summer.
This is a good question.
No,
if you were to, or if you were to disappear tomorrow.
Okay, thanks so much. Leanne, guys, let me say something about Leanne. I was talking to Leanne earlier this week. We had a meeting and she said something wild. And I was like, take this out of the atmosphere, okay? Because my God might know that you don't mean it. But the affirmation God, okay, might think you want that to come to life, okay? And now she's talking about me and dying. So if I die, we know it's because of Leanne on this podcast. Thank you so much.
I am not a witch. I'm not. I don't have any magical powers. So it would be a sheer coincidence. Okay. But let's say that you, for whatever reason, were not around as of tomorrow. How do you want to be remembered by the people around you?
By the people around me. Of someone who loved freely and abundantly.
Okay, that's good.
And I feel like that is reflective of me.
Who you are.
I think it's something that, in the season I'm in recently, I've been struggling with a lot. And I actually saw a Bible verse this week that basically said, like, that God wants us to, like, live with love. And that when we feel like it's too much to show or demonstrate love, we should pray to God for endurance to show love to others. And when I say this is something I've been really struggling, like, as in I've blocked everyone in my immediate family for 10 days because I was like, you guys are taking me for idiot. Okay, you're taking me for idiot and you're taking me for granted, and it was just getting too much. And I've been navigating burnout a lot recently as well, so I think the burnout plus being feeling like I'm being taken for idiot, my head was just doing too much noise. So I said, okay, cool, with all this noise, okay, I need to block everyone. And it wasn't, obviously I have two phones, so my other phone you can still access me. My mom messaged me on LinkedIn. Like, you can still message me on apps if you need to. But it was more just like, I need my head to feel quieter so I can figure out what my role in this family looks like. Because I think we've been conditioned culturally for certain things to be okay. Do you get what I mean? Yeah. Like, one extreme might be like, and this isn't pertaining to me or my family, but one extreme might be like, what happens in the house stays in the house.
Yeah, don't air your dirty laundry.
Right. But my experience was more just about like being the oldest sibling and kind of like, or oldest daughter, and kind of like the expectations that come with that. And I don't think that anyone in my family really put the like pressure on me with that role. But I think I naturally fell into it in such a way that the expectations are now there organically. And it's actually quite exhausting when you don't feel like these people are pouring back into you at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. Do you feel like that happens a lot to you? Like as someone who is a giver, let's put it that way. I don't want to say an empath because that's slightly different. But do you feel like that is something that consistently pops up in your relationships?
No, not outside of family, no, because I'm big on boundaries and I think I'm really aware of like the people that I'm close to and that them pouring into me as much as I pour into them and whatever is reflective of that person. Like my 100% isn't going to look like yours and that's absolutely fine, but I think you still need to meet me at your 100. Do you get what I mean? Whereas yeah. I feel like when you're talking about like family structures, it's easy for people to operate at 10% or 5% because they think they can rely or lean back on the fact that they're blood or they're a relative. And I just don't think I want to subscribe to that narrative anymore.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, I was raised in that kind of household as well. It's like, it's your blood. You don't turn your back on your blood no matter what. Don't air your dirty laundry. And in many ways, this podcast is an example of me airing my dirty laundry sometimes because I talk about things that my parents would definitely cringe about. But yeah, I do think that's it. It's a good thing to be able to set boundaries, but also find the balance to let people have a chance to forgive them or to move past it. And family probably deserves that chance a little bit more than other people.
Yeah, but I just think, like, I remember saying to my brother more recently, I was like, if something was to happen to me right now or I needed help, the people that I'm going to think of going to immediately are not my family. They're actually my friends. And I think there's like power or there's like beauty in knowing that you've met people that weren't assigned to you at birth who you're able to rely on in such a way. But I think it's crazy that all my immediate family, I would be their person they could go to and they're not on my list. I think that's wild. And I think there's an imbalance in that feels uncomfortable. And I just don't want to subscribe to that. Because like I was talking to my dad and he got frustrated and he swore at me. Yeah. And there was a light bulb moment that just said, you would never allow a man to swear at you. So why does the relationship you have with your dad allow him to feel comfortable with swearing at you? Like, obviously, my relationship with my dad is not the most traditional or normal, let's say, in terms of the entire spectrum of it, yeah? But even with that, it's just like, you're meant to set a standard to me, or you can't, based on the relationship that we have today, you're currently setting a standard to me of what the person I'm dating should be like. And I actually talk to my dad about dating, like, really openly and a lot. Yeah, like I love going to him for male advice, actually. But my thing is, like, if I was to tell him that a man swore at me in this manner, he'd probably be a bit concerned. When I saw that sweat, oh, fuck off. When I saw that, I said, let me just block you. And then I unblocked him this week. And I said to him, Dad, we was talking, like, I called him, he spoke like normal. And then randomly I said, I need to actually talk to you, though. He goes, okay, what's up? So I need to tell you something. He goes, that's fine. What's up? I said, do you think I'm pregnant? He goes, I know you're not pregnant. I said, how do you know that? He goes, because the guy that you were seeing, you haven't been seeing him for that long. I said, Dad, this is 2024. I'm not even seeing him anymore. But anyway, we move forward. The point is that, you know, I think we should both work on how we communicate with each other, because the last conversation we had is not progressive and it's not conducive to where I see our relationship going. And he goes, fair enough. I understand. And that was the end. And would he do it again? Probably. But the fact of the matter is, this time he may reflect more and maybe apologize. But I feel like my whole life I kind of allowed him to act in that manner if he wanted to fall into it. And it's just, I don't want to be around men or people like that. I don't think it's okay. So no.
Fair enough.
Not subscribing to it. Okay. Is there a time you did something that seems so out of character that most people wouldn't believe it? And what was it? And the example can't be that you spat on someone. And if you guys are thinking, what on earth? Then listen to the episode called I Spat on Someone.
Something that I've done that is out of character and people would be surprised by? Other than spitting on someone.
Or cheating.
Other than those two things.
And guys, I just want to say, if this is your first time listening to the podcast, those two examples are nowhere near reflective of Leanne today, which is why I'm laughing, because it makes it funny.
Thank you for making that disclaimer. I'm no longer a serial cheeto, and I'm no longer
a spitter.
I no longer have a real tempo. Like, my temper is almost non-existent.
Yes.
I don't know. I think everything that I've done outside of those two things is pretty much on beat. Or what most people would think of me. I can't think of anything else outside of those two things. Maybe, you know, everybody knows that I have a fear of heights. And recently I've been, over the past few years, I've been, you know, trying to conquer certain fears that I have. And so I've jumped off of a few cliffs into water, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Imagine onto rocks, but she's here fighting. She's fighting, guys.
I've done Blue Hole in the Grill. If anyone has not been, you should definitely go and jump into the Blue Hole. I don't think there's anything that I've done that's out of character. Everybody knows that historically I've had... This is not funny, but it is. So growing up, I definitely had an affinity for... what some people would define as unattractive men. So my mom used to say, Lord, you love data ugly manny.
No, it's true. It's your ex. Woo! I don't know which
ex you're referring to.
But... I don't know if I ever told you this, yeah, but... No, guys, listen...
I'm very upset. I'm personally offended. Go ahead.
No, but it's fine. So guys, Leanne one day had told me lots of stories about this man that mistreated her.
Of which there are many, for the record. There's not just one in life.
And then for whatever reason or another, I ended up being aware of what this person looked like.
Okay.
I remember at the time just thinking, Leanne. And you know when someone tells you a story and you're like, this girl went through trials and tribulations
for this man.
The math isn't mathing here. And you know, at the time it was still quite fresh, so I don't think I felt comfortable telling you, but I can tell you now, we've now moved on, we're now married. But I was just thinking, what on earth is going on here, sis? Because this was really love, okay?
Look, I have an attraction to certain things. Right, I love a great smile. I love a great smile. I love dynamic personalities, people who are charming. But aesthetics is not really my thing, you know? So in love with chemistry and people's personalities. And
listen, guys,
so
she's lying. Let me say something, yeah? I would say I'm sapiosexual, yeah? Even if you're not my type, once I start to get into your mind and I understand you and I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. Wait. But if you categorically look at the men I've dated, they're all at a certain level and above. Okay? So I feel like, in fact, I'm even thinking about someone else that I know you've dated or at least gone on dates with. There's just no consistency with the men.
Yeah, that's true. But I need to know...
There is no quality control with the men that you date.
That is true. All of the men that I've dated look very different, but they all have similar characteristics in terms of their personalities, which goes back to that's what I'm attracted to more than anything. But yes, agreed. I have had a wonky history with the type of men that I've been attracted to, mm-hmm. to say the least. But there have been some good-looking ones in there.
Okay, I just don't know about them. And we're talking about pre-marriage, by the way.
Yeah, of course. We're not talking about marrying. So I would say that that's probably the characteristic that would be most surprising to people. Okay. Is that I have... You know, previously I've had an affinity for.
And you know, guys, just a caveat, it's not about the looks, all right?
It's not.
It's about the heart. But you know they say when you're arguing with your man, at least let the man that's stressing you be good looking. I don't know who it is that says that, but if it's anyone.
I was going to say, I've never heard that in my life before.
You know, you try to use a, you know, when someone's arguing, yeah, they're clutching straws, they'll be like, data says, data does not say that, Susan. Data does not. Okay.
Okay. If you could go back in time and change one decision, just one, who would it be? Or what would it be? Sorry.
She said, who would it be? She said, what body count do you want back? What body count do you want back?
Okay. I mean, it could be a who, but it could also be a what.
Would it have to be a permanent decision?
Yeah.
Really? Okay, cool. So, you know, guys, I'm not going to do the preamble, but I am. That, you know, all of the things that happened to us in our past have made us who we are today. Okay? But there was a guy that I dated in 2022 or 2023. And Leanne, you're aware of this person. And in hindsight, as I reflect on that man and the fact that I had no quality control when it came to him, I realized that I was dating him out of boredom.
Fair.
Sometimes and when you date happens. Someone out of boredom, you can find yourself in situations and circumstances that are not conducive to who you are and who you want to be. And that definitely happened to me with that man. And so as a result of that, that is something that I could just get rid of. Because I'd still be where I am today, because it wasn't detrimental. You know, we had control systems in place. However, at one point, I thought I was going to be rocked. And it put me in a bad place.
Okay.
So that's what I would change. Because then that wouldn't disrupt. Because that's something I could change and still know where I'd be today. Whereas anything else, I probably wouldn't be the same.
It might have a knock-on effect. Fair.
Yeah.
Fair. Is it your turn? Yeah, it's your turn.
Is there anything about you that is frequently misunderstood?
I don't know. Both of us actually are such oversharers that I would be hard-pressed to find someone who says, oh, I just don't understand you. Like, I often think I'm more mysterious than I actually am.
Yes.
Yeah, people are like, no, Leanne, you're transparent as fuck.
Oh, when I go to the club, I'm going to have one drink and one drink only. Four drinks in, I'm like, hey. Yeah, no.
Yeah, we lie to ourselves far more than we do to other people, for sure. But if there's anything... Repeat the question again, sorry.
Is there anything about you that you think is frequently misunderstood?
I think, and going back to what you just did actually about when I said, you know, if you are dead tomorrow or whatever, I've been told that sometimes I have a pessimistic lens on things. Like I'll always go for the negative instead of going for the positive. But I feel like a lot of times when I do that, I'm being sarcastic or, you know, kind of facetious. So I think sometimes my dry sense of humor can be taken as me being serious. Like people never really know, some people who don't know me as well as others, never really know when I'm joking or when I'm being serious. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because like I have a monotone voice and, you know, I deliver things in a very like deadpan sort of way. So, yeah, I would say that's probably the only thing I can think of.
Okay.
Yeah, very straightforward. And I rarely feel misunderstood by people, rarely, because I feel like people know everything there is to know about me. So
really, I feel like when I grew up feeling really misunderstood. I feel like that would be one of the words to use to describe my childhood.
I think I probably felt misunderstood because I didn't understand myself. So I had a perception of... No, because, you know, as you said, I didn't really learn to love myself until I was like in my 30s, right? So the perception that I had of myself, which was probably very negative, was completely different from what other people had. Even sometimes when you say things to me, I think we've been on an episode before where you've said, oh, you know, like you lead by example, or like the fact that the way I've handled life has been a positive influence. And I'm always like, I handle things so shitty sometimes. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, because inside you feel like you're crumbling, or inside you feel like you're not good enough. And people don't see that, right? So at least they don't necessarily see it in me. And so I think being misunderstood or feeling misunderstood for me when I was growing up was often a source of not seeing myself in the way that others saw me, in a positive light rather than a negative one.
Because I feel like mine was the opposite. The others didn't see me how I saw myself.
You were like, can they not see how amazing I am? Like,
actually, is that a fair... Now I have my self-awareness hat on. Is that a fair thing to say? Because maybe I was in denial at the time. I'm thinking about really, really young ages.
Yeah.
Of like... No, maybe I take it back. Maybe they were a bit accurate.
Okay.
Sprinkle, sprinkle. Fair. Maybe a little bit accurate. But I think... Do you know what I think I misunderstood? Is that I think people think, based on my personality, yeah? And I think even you've done this before, that like I like confrontation.
I don't think you like confrontation.
Or that like I'm argumentative.
I also don't think you're argumentative.
Okay. Well, I felt like there was something you said that made me think that. But anyway, the point of the matter is, I think people think that like I like confrontation, I'm argumentative. If I was to, I remember like when people ask those questions, like if you were to go to a party, who's going to get into a fight? And it's happened a few times and people have been like, me. And I'm like, you're lying. It would never be me. I wouldn't even be there.
So here's why people probably say that. Because you're direct. And I think there's a distinction. So I am probably the person that would just go along because I'm not that pressed or I'm not that fussed. But you have very specific ideas about what you want. And I think that can come across as being argumentative, but it's actually just a level of certainty that you have about what you want and who you are, which I don't think is a bad thing. I think it just is not present in many other people.
Mm.
But I wouldn't go to the extreme. Quite a lot.
And I'm like, if you know how much I avoid it, like even today, yeah, I had to have a difficult conversation, let's say. And I was talking to one of my friends and she was like, Rashan, just do it. And I'm like, I'd rather not. I'd rather just leave it. I actually don't give a shit. Okay? Let's just fucking leave it. And she's like, no, you need to have a conversation. And I'm like, it's exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't think you're argumentative. You don't create arguments out of nothing. I don't think that's true. But you like what you like and you want what you want, which I think is also fair.
I like big dicks and long money. No, joking.
Was that our last question?
Yeah, that was, yeah.
Okay, cool. I feel like I learned a lot about you this episode. I feel like people learned a lot about us, including the fact that I used to spit on people. Just go back and get the context of the previous episodes. Okay, guys? Please, I beg of you.
It sounded so mad. Honestly, guys, listen to the episode. She did try to spit on someone though. But yeah, listen to the episode.
But I was young and foolish and stigmatized. So just yes. Let it go. Let it go. Thanks for listening, everyone. We will be back with you next week with more rants and more questions for each other and more interesting topics. If you're interested in hearing about something specific, please let us know, slide into the DMs, email us at info@dopeblackwomen.org, and we'll be in touch. Thank you so much for listening to the Unapologetically Black podcast, brought to you by the Dope Black Women CIC.
If you like this episode, please tweet us, DM us, or even message us at Dope Black Women across all socials.
Unapologetically Black.
It was a breathtaking sight as thousands of moon pigs descended onto doorsteps. A symphony of joyful dads filled the air. This little moon pig was completely unique, made in minutes.
Wow.
This little moon pig wanted to say thanks for everything.
Oh.
And this witty little moon pig made Tony go ha 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 all day long. For when it comes to Father's Day, it must be a
moonpig.com.
Download the app now.
Why go on just another drive when tomorrow could be so much more? With the Ford Mustang Mach-E 48-hour test drive, you could be experiencing Blue Cruise hands-off, eyes-on motorway driving, basking in the sun above, beneath the panoramic sunroof, singing along to your favorite tunes on the B&O sound system. And best of all, the day after, you get to do it all again. The Mustang Mach-E is now available with 0% APR finance over 2 years with Ford credit. Test drive runs until June 30th. Search Mustang Mach-E 48 hours. Ford. Bring on tomorrow. Sun and test drive subject to availability.